Where the Heart Is. This is the story of Chateau Fontenille in Fronsac, Bordeaux, written by Lisa Perotti Brown for The Wine Palette. There is a universal longing, a yearning we all share, to own a place of our own. A roof that provides safety and shelter, a space that captivates and inspires. Rooms where memories are made and history is held, a place to gather family and friends. Michel and Danny Roland's Chateau Fontenille was born from that instinct. Not from ambition, nor from inheritance or prestige, but from something elemental, the desire to belong to a place. In the mid-1980s, Danny and Michel Roland were not looking to build an estate. Already established as respected oenologists, with a growing consulting business and two young daughters, they were searching for a country home, a refuge from the intensity of their professional lives. What they found instead, in Saillant, in Bordeaux's remote Fronsac appellation, would reshape the course of their lives. The property was far from idyllic. The house was large but neglected, in clear need of restoration. Yet it possessed a certain gravity, an unpolished presence that suggested what it might become. More importantly, it sat alongside 7 hectares of old vines planted on land of undeniable quality, though largely overlooked at the time. The combination was compelling. The Rolands fell for it immediately. Then, just as quickly, the opportunity slipped away. The owner of the house withdrew it from sale. What remained available were the vines. Crestfallen but pragmatic, the Rolands purchased the vineyard and accepted an informal promise that the house might one day follow. It was a gamble, personal, financial, and emotional. But it was one they were willing to take. Several years later, that promise was fulfilled. The house was finally theirs. What had begun as a compromise became the foundation of something far more significant. Chateau Fontenelle, as it would come to be known, emerged not as a premeditated project, but as a gradual, deeply personal evolution. The early years were defined less by vision than by necessity. Between 1986 and 1990, working with just 7 hectares, Danny and Michelle did everything themselves. There was no grand infrastructure, no modern cellar, only determination. Harvests were exhausting, fermentation took place in old wooden vats, and equipment was sourced wherever it could be found. The cellar and barrel room were rebuilt slowly, piece by piece, over time. This was not the story of a well-capitalized chateau or a calculated investment. Danny had grown up in the Dordogne, far from the world of vineyards, while Michel's family estate in Pomerol, Le Bon Pasteur, was still modest at the time. Fontenille represented something different, a complete commitment to a site that demanded belief before it offered reward. That belief was rooted in the land itself. From the beginning, the Rolands recognized the complexity of the terroir, a layered composition of limestone, asteres, marine fossils, clay, and the distinctive Molasse de Fronsac. Changes in elevation and exposure added further nuance, eventually leading to a careful division into microparcels. The oldest vines, planted in the Filet Rouge and Côte Fonteuil sections, names that would later inspire Fontenille, were already of indeterminate age when acquired, likely dating back to before the 1950s. To the Rolands, this was not simply good land. It was land with unrealized potential. Unlocking it would become their long-term pursuit. "We wanted to make a top cuvée with all that we knew," Danny explained during my visit, "to show the greatness of this terroir." That ambition took tangible form in 2000 with the creation of DeFi, French for challenge, a wine that, appropriately, emerged from one of the estate's most controversial decisions. In 1999, the Rolands initiated an experiment aimed at mitigating the impact of late-season rains and extending the ripening period. On 1.6 hectares of steep Merlot parcels, they installed custom plastic sheeting between the rows to limit water infiltration. The results were immediate and compelling. Improved sugar levels, greater phenolic maturity, and a noticeable step forward in quality. The fruit was incorporated into the Grand Vin. Encouraged, they repeated the experiment the following year. But in August 2000, just days after installing the sheets, the INAO intervened, issuing what amounted to a cease and desist order and threatening to declassify the wine. Faced with the choice between compliance and conviction, the Rolands chose the latter. They completed the experiment and bottled the wine separately as Le Défi de Fontenil outside the appellation system. It was, in every sense, a defining moment, not because of the controversy itself, but because of what it revealed about the estate's identity. Fontenil would not be shaped by convention. It would evolve through inquiry, risk, and a willingness to challenge established norms in pursuit of quality. That same spirit continues to define the estate's approach, particularly in confronting the natural limitations of the site. "We need heat here. We need a warm autumn," Danny noted. "It can be difficult to ripen the tannins. And we also have to manage alcohol. There is a lot of leaf canopy, and the sugars can climb quickly. Today, we are around 14 to 14.5%. In Pomerol, it is easier to achieve full Merlot maturity. Here, it is more of a challenge." Those challenges have informed both viticulture and winemaking decisions. Since 2008, a portion of the production, roughly half, has been fermented in barrel, a technique aimed at refining texture and moderating tannin structure. "It gives a softer, more supple body," Danny explained. "It helps to tame the tannins. Everything is done by hand, in small volumes. We work like a garage wine." The phrase is telling. Despite Michel Roland's global reputation as a consultant, Fontenil remains resolutely artisanal in scale and philosophy. It is not a showcase of influence, but a reflection of intent. Over time, the vineyard has grown modestly. An additional 0.99 hectares of contiguous vines have been acquired, along with 2.2 hectares farmed under lease, bringing the total to approximately 10 hectares. More recently, the estate has expanded into white wine production, dedicating 1 hectare to Bordeaux white varieties alongside a small proportion of Chardonnay. The first release of Le Blanc de Fontenil in 2019 was just 2,200 bottles. Because of the Chardonnay component, it must be labeled as Vin de France, another departure from appellation norms. Yet the classification feels almost incidental. Like DeFi before it, the wine is defined less by regulation than by purpose. If there is a unifying thread running through the story of Fontenil, it is this. The estate has never been built to satisfy expectations. It has been built to answer questions about terroir, about possibility, about how far conviction can carry a vision. What began as a search for a home became something far more enduring, a place shaped by persistence, guided by intuition, and grounded in the belief that great wine is not imposed upon a vineyard, but discovered within it. At Fontenil, that discovery is ongoing. And perhaps that is the point. The house was never the destination. It was simply where the journey began. In memory of Michel Roland, 1947 to 2026.